G'day everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Game Set Wrap. Fencing, swimming, horse riding, shooting and running. Not a group of sports regularly attempted by your average Joe. However, this week we spoke to a very special Joe who has conquered them all. Joe Chung is Britain's first ever Olympic gold medalist in the men's modern pentathlon, winning in stunning fashion with an Olympic record at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. We cover Joe's complete journey thus far, finding out how the hell you actually get into a sport like the modern pentathlon and how it originated. We had so much fun with Joe. He was so down to earth and really opened up about his passion for the different disciplines as well as his overall enjoyment of competing at the highest level. Big thanks again to Joe for sitting down with us and giving up some of his time. We really appreciate it. So here he is, Joe Chung on Game Set Wrap. All right, welcome to another exclusive interview. Today we are joined by the most sought-after athlete in the UK right now. He's the first British male to win the Olympic gold medal in the modern pentathlon. He's been good enough to give us some of his precious time. Joe Chung, welcome to Game Set Wrap.
Hi, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Now, Joe, the modern pentathlon, it's probably one of the most unique and probably intriguing sports of the Olympics, and you've conquered it. So for our listeners out there that might not know exactly what the modern pentathlon is all about, can you maybe just give us a brief overview of the sports that make it up?
Yeah, so modern pentathlon was originally created to sort of be the best 18th century cavalry soldier, in that you ride a horse into battle, you fence with sword and fight your way out with a pistol, and then to escape you swim across a river and run away. So that's how five sports got put together.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you'd be perfect to sign up to the military then.
Or just survive a zombie apocalypse.
Because as JA said, it is so unique. Like, how the fuck do you get into modern pentathlon? Seriously, like, how do you go about it? You just somehow, you know, everyone sort of runs and swims as a junior. Do you sort of slowly add strings to the bow, or is there a sort of a pathway through it? How did you get into it?
A little bit of both. Like, there's a pathway. I started out, yeah, as you said, I did a bit of swimming at school or at club and some like cross country at school. Then there's a thing called the Schools Biathlon, which is like fairly big in the UK, where you just combine the running and swimming and you get points, and whoever's got the most points wins. I did quite well there. And then I was just asked by like a Team GB talent scout, would I be interested in coming to some camps, having a go at like pistol shooting and fencing? And like went to these camps, enjoyed it. Then I got picked for, I think, under 17 Europeans the year later, just like as a wild card, and I won that. So that I was like, oh, this is cool. Keep going. And then yeah, I picked up the fencing, the horse riding was the last one, and just sort of kept going until I'm here now.
So okay, so just to recap, so with the five sports, we've got fencing, shooting, running, swimming, and horse jumping.
Yeah.
So when you initially started, so obviously a bit of an athlete. So are you saying did you grow up with a horse? Did you do any horse riding, horse jumping as a kid, or you just had to pick that up once you were good at sort of all the other ones?
Yeah. So, well, I'm allergic to horses. So no, I didn't grow up
before. Really?
Yeah. No, that was the last one I picked up. Yeah. Just like, I picked up the others. I was 16 and like needed to like do the last sport to make up the pentathlon. So sort of got taken once a week to a riding school and sort of learnt to get on with horses.
Oh, so allergic to horses, and that's crazy. So how do you go? How much medication do you need before you jump on the horse?
I mean, it's not bad. It's just like hay fever, like with grass, like just get, you know, itchy eyes, just like, and all that. But yeah, just like one tablet, like anti hay fever tablet a day, and like sort of deal with a runny nose afterwards, but it's fine.
It's unreal.
Like immune now,
right?
So he's doing it and he's impaired at the same time, Jay. This guy is more than the ultimate athlete.
What can't he do? Jeez, I want him in my zombie next to me in the zombie apocalypse. He's what a man.
So when it comes to training then, Joe, do you focus more on your strengths? Because as you said, it's a combination of all the points. So it's not like, you know, you've got to go pretty well in all of them to score decent points. Then obviously whoever's got the overall most points wins the event. Do you focus more on your weaknesses, i.e. your horse riding, or do you just go, I'm going to nail my swim, my run, and if I come mid-table in the horse jumping, so be it?
I don't know. It's a bit of like being clever, like working out where there's the most sort of scope to increase your points. Like, I think for pentathlon in general, the biggest like difference between like everyone's potential and where they are is probably the running. So like that's the focus at the moment. And then swimming, it's just about maintaining. Like, I'm a decent swimmer, so to get another 2 seconds quicker there is going to be a lot more effort than getting 2 seconds quicker in the running.
Yeah. So what are your favorite ones to train for? Is obviously the horse riding, considering you're allergic, probably not the most favorable one. But what about say like the fencing? So you took up fencing a little bit after as well. Do you enjoy the fencing side of things? How much do you train for that?
Yeah, I think fencing's my favorite. Like, I just did, like I said before, I did pretty much every sport at school, like a bit of rugby, football. And like, I don't know, it just helps. Like when I picked it up, I was a fairly coordinated kid. Like I knew where the point of my sword was at most times. and
a little in joke there for the fences.
and being left-handed was a big advantage as well, actually. So I sort of like picked that one up quite quickly. And obviously it's like one where you can like prove you're like directly better than someone else. Like it's like a bit of a one-on-one. So I like that aspect to it. So yeah, we train quite a lot of that as well. Like the part of the pentathlon as well is the points are meant to be all fairly, like all the events are meant to be weighted fairly similarly, but it kind of doesn't work out like that, where the fencing and the running are like just the most important by a lot. So
wow, okay.
Like focusing on the fencing has always been a good one, and it's a pretty useful one to be strong at.
Yeah. Because I saw they do, I think initially they try and run all the events on one day, but there's a ranking day for the fencing beforehand. Is that sort of just so you marry up? How's it done? Like first versus 16th or first versus 30th, or how does the sort of ranking work for the fencing?
So it's kind of done to keep it spectator friendly, because the ranking round is there's 36 of us in the final, and you just fence all the other 35 athletes to one hit. So like that's a lot of fencing, and it takes 2-3 hours, and it's probably not the most exciting sport to watch, because it's all over. Like a point can be over in like 1 second or 60 seconds. But the action's just like split second, and it's quite difficult to sort of appreciate unless you're like really involved in the sport. Mm-hmm. So we get that done. And then there's the main competition day, which is you've got like the bonus round for the fencing and all the other sports, which are like awesome to watch. So you can come and just see that. And that's like the main action.
So I think that's a great lead-in to this year's Olympics. So this was your second Olympics. So in 2016 at Rio, you had quite a good run, but unfortunately, I think were you second going into the last event, and then unfortunately didn't quite have the best last event. But this year, oh Mac, the footage of this man absolutely striding home. I think, was it in front of the Egyptian competitor?
The Egyptian lad, El Gendi.
Yeah, El Gendi. And oh, it was just glorious watching this man stride home. can you talk us through the day? Because all the events are held on the one day. Talk us through the day, and then just talk us through the euphoria of winning that gold medal.
Well, like as you said before, there's like the fencing ranking round, so you get points for that, and I was first after that, so went into the day being like, I've got a shot at a fucking medal here, like don't fuck it up. And like swimming is one of my strongest, so like the fence and the swim always should put me in a good position. Was like first after that, and it was like, I don't know if you guys saw it, but like the women's riding was scary to watch. Like the horses were like so good, and it was just a case of some of the women and men not being good enough to ride them well. So they looked like bad horses.
I saw that. Like, yeah. because it's a random horse that you get given. You can't bring your own pet horse. So, and I read this could be Wikipedia gone wrong here, but there was a German woman that like got into a bit of a row with her horse, and like it came to blows almost.
Didn't she punch the horse?
Yeah, I've got to be careful. I don't get into trouble here.
No, secret's safe with us.
that's just what we read. To be clear,
don't punch a horse. I think there's a little bit of like media exaggeration as to what happened.
Right. Okay.
But it wasn't good riding at all. Like she panicked, and that's something you can't do.
Yeah.
But you saw that it was pretty distressing to watch, and all the guys were like, "Shit, we don't want that horse." So the competition will provide 18 horses and there's 36 athletes, so each horse gets ridden by two people, and one of the things that can really like screw a competition is if the first rider like messes up and then the horse is already like upset when you get on and it just doesn't want to listen to you.
So because you were in a lead, were you able to choose your horse, you know, go around and just eye them all off and let them know, I need a good ride today?
It's out of a hat. So they'll just put all 18 names in a hat. You pull out a name and that's the one you've got.
Right. But do you get to, if you were in the lead, do you get to ride first? Do you get to ride on it first, or is it just completely?
It's in reverse order. So no, if you're in the lead, you've got to hope that the guy in front of you has a good round.
Oh my goodness. That's just completely out of your hands then. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, somewhat. Yeah. Like obviously you train to sort of calm a horse down if you need to, but it's not like the thing you want to spend your warm up doing is making the horse happy. Like you want to get to know it and like figure out how to ride it best.
Yeah. 100%.
It sounds like there's so many different elements to it. Like mentally, how do you focus for something like that? Obviously, there's so many external, like, you know, you're looking at other rankings and points and it's constant. It's not like you're going in the pool for a minute and that's, you've got to focus on that. Like, there's a lot of external with the horse and all that sort of stuff. How do you sort of zone in and focus on each event? Is there anything you do?
I think that's like one of the things you kind of learn like as you get a bit older. Like, you have to actually like concentrate on one event. Like when I was, I don't know, 21, 5 years ago, I'd have a similar fence, good swim. I'd be in top three and I'd be like, I'm nailing this. Like, and then kind of forget about the riding and then I'd go and fall off my horse and come last. And like, you've got to just like refocus and like respect every event that it still counts towards your points total.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. So then after those three events, so after the fencing, the swimming and the horse jumping, so then it goes into the final event. And do they call it the laser? Is it the laser run? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And which incorporates both shooting and running. And now, yeah, so talk us through this. So you were going into the lead. You were in the lead.
Yeah.
Into this final event. So how much pressure did you feel going into that last leg? And then, how'd you go with the shooting and the running? It was obviously a very close finish. Just talk us through it.
Yeah. I mean, like you're constantly thinking about what other people are doing. And then that's like exactly what you're meant to just focus on your own like process. Think about the shooting and your race tactics in the running. And like in the lead up, it's just human. Like you're thinking, shit, what if this guy's got really fast in the last couple of months of running or something like that. So you've got to just drown that out. And you do have a pretty good idea how fast everyone is at running because you compete against them every year. And like they're the same people at the Olympics. They're not suddenly like going to have got 20 seconds quicker or something.
Mm. You're aware of what everyone's like. Yeah.
So like I went in, I had my tactic. I took the first couple of runs pretty, not easy, but just like I backed off a little bit knowing that I had that lead and no one should be able to catch me up as long as I shot well. And it's obviously easier to shoot if your heart rate's a bit lower. So I backed off on the first two runs. And then that's when like the guys started getting a bit close, and because there was like there's a massive sort of big screen and it's got like the 400 meter splits halfway around the run, and like 12, 8, and you kind of just like got to work out who it is and whether you need to push on or not. So I got to the third run, was like, right, I want to like have a lead going into the last shoot. So just, like started going for it a bit there and went into the last shoot with at the same time as the Egyptian boy, but I think, and then we like left together. We both shot really well, left together, and he'd obviously been like smashing it. He caught up something ridiculous, like 40 seconds in three runs, which is insane. And then,
sure, you felt the heat then.
And then he was tired, and one of my sort of things in the pentathlon is I'm the quickest 800 runner, like out of everyone on the last lap. So like that, and combined with him sort of dying, it like meant that I was like fairly confident, but I was just like, not until I crossed the line, I was like, I'm not taking it too easy.
Well, Mac, I watching the footage, you can just see Joe just look over the shoulder, and you can just see he knows he's got it as he's striding down the final straight, and he's got a big smile on his face, and it was fantastic to watch.
Unreal, mate. How was that in terms of knowing all the hard work's gone into it? Because I know you're running into a bit of form. You won the gold at the World Cup earlier in the year.
Yeah.
But the difference between, obviously, what I know, at what they regard higher, I'm assuming Olympic gold is the top of the sport. Yeah. What was the initial emotion, and how did you celebrate?
It was like surreal. Like the last sort of, I don't know, 30 meters of the race, I was like, is this an Olympics? Like it was so, because you obviously like you dream of it, like that's what we train for. And then like the whole like 2 hours afterwards, going through like the doping process, like drugs test. So
yeah, we'll cut that out. Yeah.
getting drug tested. Getting drug tested, like the medal ceremony, like the press conference that I had to do after. It was just like, I like think back and it's just a massive blur. Like it was so surreal that experience like actually happened to me. And it's taken until like things have calmed down back home now to sort of for it to sink in. And I just sort of like sit here and think that I've got a medal in my drawer next to me.
And you got it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and get it on. In the bottom drawer.
Oh. And now can you just for the listeners, how heavy is
how
it?
Unreal.
Because they are super heavy, aren't they, those gold medals?
Yeah, it's surprising. Like, I guess like a small sack of sugar or something.
it's like it,
gold
around,
sugar.
Around your gold neck. Sugar. Now are those golds? Are they fully gold or gold plated? What's the deal there?
It's actually quite cool because Tokyo was like a sustainable games. It's all made from like recycled mobile phone parts.
Oh right.
So I think really? It's gold plated, but it's all like all used to be in a mobile phone.
There you go.
I thought it was quite a cool fact.
Yeah.
So they keep track of you, mate. They just, they've got a little chip on there. Oh, mate. I don't want to think that we just jumped on the gold medal bandwagon here, because going back a little while, we were trying to get a few Olympians on in the lead up to the games. I swear to God that you liked one of our posts on Instagram and we were like, oh my God, we are on here. I reckon we're going to get him. Obviously, you know, you had your head down training and you've had a lot of commitments post. But just want to say, we're on you from the start, mate. We were all about it. We're trying to get you on, but I understand you had some big training commitments in the lead up to the games.
Yeah. Oh, no, go on.
Just want to say, like, what's the whirlwind been like after winning the gold? Have you had any like weird sponsorships come for you and be like, look, Joe, we want you on board for, I don't know, some weird food products or some new fencing.
Mobile phones.
Yeah. Have you had any of that?
Mobile phone sponsor would be nice if anyone's listening.
Yeah. Take note.
I think the weirdest thing I had, I got back and my agent was like, oh yeah, you've been asked to be if you want to be a live drawing model. That's one of like those artist things. They're like, we'll give you $5,000 if you'll sit in a studio naked on live TV for 5 minutes.
What?
Like, so London. What are you doing it?
Yeah. So yeah, cut that out. No. No, I was like, I think I'm gonna wait to see how much more I can get for selling my body.
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah, just sit back. First offer, not good enough. But yeah, you need at least $10,000. I like that. Yeah,
Mac would do that for free. Don't worry.
Oh, I've done it for free. Yeah, not as rewarding as you might think, Joe. I wanted to ask you, obviously the modern pentathlon has changed. You were talking earlier about the history of it. It used to be, you know, the ultimate soldier. And I think like soldiers used to, you know, compete in them sort of in the early 1900s. Yeah. How do you think you'd fare at the original pentathlon? So for those who don't know, think it's wrestling, javelin, discus, running.
And swimming.
Swimming.
Yeah.
Is it not long jump?
No, it's long jump. You're right. It's long jump. He's the number one athlete in the world, Olympic record holder here. So I think, but how do you think you'd go in the wrestle, Joe? I might get you.
I asked this to one of the other guys, one of the hurdlers, 100-meter hurdlers, and I was like, which Olympic sport do you reckon would be the best? If it was just free for all in the Olympic Village, like Battle Royale, last man standing, who would win? I actually reckon that we'd be pretty useless. Because like every single swimmer is just ripped, like upper body, they're massive. Like the long distance like runners, we're not going to get near them. They're going to be quicker than us. And the sprinters will be able to catch us in 200 meters. So, and we're not like the biggest guys. So like we might beat the shooters and the archers.
Yeah, no disrespect to the archers. Yeah.
No disrespect, no.
But Joe, surely you're, I think with those five, it's so unique. You must be the most well-rounded athlete in the whole of the Olympics, surely. I mean, there's not many guys that can ride a horse, shoot a gun, and swim and run, and fence as well. Oh, Mac, we are talking to the most rounded athlete in the world.
If his head's not big enough, it will be after this interview.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to get out of my room after this.
But don't worry about a battle royale. This is just... He's the man. We're looking at
I would him. Love to see it, though. Like, athletes competing in events they're not supposed to compete in.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, like the wrestlers having a go at the 100-meter sprint. Like, I reckon that'd be good viewing. But, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing you boys in the wrestle.
We used to have a program in the UK called Superstars, and it got, like some of the, I think the Brownlees have been on it, and it got them doing sports against other Olympians that just, like, wasn't their actual sport. And one of the swimmers, Adam Peaty, tweeted, like, let's bring it back. And I'm so keen to be involved in that. Like,
I'd have to let's get it going. Like,
any other Olympic sport, like, I don't know, I'll jump off a diving board.
So what other sports do you reckon you'd be good at? Maybe we need to make a new event, maybe a heptathlon, a modern heptathlon, add in some diving, add in some.
Yeah, just like as a bit of fun, I think, in the next 6 months, I wanted to see how fast I can get a like track event. So like 400, 800, like obviously we have to run a bit further in the pentathlon, but if I was a track runner, those would be on my events. I'm a lot better at like the shorter distances and not the 100 meters, but just something like that. And I think that would be like another sport I could have got into if I'd started doing it when I was younger.
I like it. Cause it's 3.2 kilometers, isn't it? With the run, but yeah, it's too far for me.
It's verging on too far for me. I'd much rather it was a little bit shorter.
So I guess that's lead into a good question. So what, moving forward, are you looking to be in the pentathlon, just continue that and then try out for the next World Cup and the next Olympics in the pentathlon? Or are you maybe looking to do something else and go another way?
I think this year I'm just going to focus on the running and the fencing. Like, I want to go to some fencing World Cups. I think that'll be cool. Like, just get even better at that. And then it's obviously going to give me advantage when I come back to pentathlon. But I think realistically, I've spent 8 years training for this sport. I don't think it's like, I think it's a bit cocky, maybe a bit cocky to just assume I'd be able to go and make it in a different sport. So it's going to be pentathlon in 3 years' time, I'm pretty sure.
Awesome. Because, yeah, I read as well that there's also, well, there used to be a team event and a relay event, because was it Kate French, compatriot who won the gold as well in the women's event? So surely that could be, bring that back, get the team event going.
Yeah, well, like they still have that at World Champs, like European.
Okay.
So yeah, there's like the mixed relay where you do like half and half with the girl, or like the men's relay where there's two guys doing it. Mm-hmm. It's so much more fun because it's, I don't know, it's just like a team event. Like, it's fun. You're with one of your mates and it's just like, yeah, it doesn't seem like as much of a competition because you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
And like the mixed relay triathlon, like at the games, was like awesome to watch. And it's another like medal opportunity for pentathlon. So I'd love it if they introduced that.
Yeah, 100%. And like, Joe, this year at the Olympics, it was so different. Such a different setup in Tokyo, obviously with COVID and everything. What was the best experience for the games? Obviously, winning the gold, but were there any other awesome experiences just in terms of like the village or being able to see anything? Or was it kind of just you had to get in there, you know, do your event and then sort of get out?
I think, yeah, but like obviously it was weird with COVID, like the preparation, I had to do, I don't know, a million PCR tests, and then you don't actually go straight into the village, you go to like a holding camp because like they don't want all the people crowded into the village at once. And in this holding camp, it was like such a nice layout, like TNGB had done awesome, like good food, could go to our training venues, but you literally weren't allowed to leave the hotel. So that was like the most severe like COVID sort of protocol we had. But then as soon as you got into the village, I was like a kid in a sweet shop. Like you could go to any country's like block of flats. The food hall was open 24/7. And it was just kind of like almost a bit of normality again. And I absolutely loved it because it was just like, I'm in the Olympic Village. I'm having a good time. Yeah. And I'm just going to enjoy it.
You felt a part of it.
Yeah.
Who were the rowdiest countries?
Yes.
USA. Like we won all the last events. So like, I think people were pretty respectful in terms of like not partying and staying up late, like until the events were finished. But like the night after we finished, got back, like my mate Tom was the reserve athlete out there, and he was like, "You're not going to bed tonight. You're coming out and having a fucking drink." So, we went out. I have no idea where they found alcohol in the Olympic Village, but there was some apparently.
Yeah,
awesome. Like, had a few beers. Like once some of the Americans got invited over to the track athletes got invited over, and one of them just had this like massive boombox, like it was a piece of luggage on its own, and I had no idea how they got it in the village. But so they just turned like our Team GB athlete lounge into like a club for the night.
Oh, how good!
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It was good.
You brush shoulders with any big names? Who'd you meet?
To be honest, I think you meet more famous people because people were leaving 48 hours after their event. So like all the big names that I'd heard of had already gone. So like in Rio, like there was Usain Bolt doing a striptease on his balcony, like
unreal.
But yeah, this time it was like there was no big names, but it was just like it's just cool meeting like other Olympians who are just like normal guys, really.
Yeah. What were the Aussies like? Were there any Aussies around?
Oh yeah, the Aussie pentathlete Ed, he's like the biggest joker. Like he's, I think he retired 4 years ago, and then in lockdown was like, I'm gonna give this a go. He's qualified and just come out to have a good time. And yeah, it was just like he was at the party until like 2 a.m. He was like, I've got to leave now, my flight's in an hour or something.
So he only started training during lockdown. Why not?
I think that was it.
Oh my God. What a man.
That's pretty arrogant from Ed, but we love it. What's the next big event coming up? You got a bit of time off? Are you going to just, you know, have some downtime, do a bit of travel, or you're back into something pretty quick?
I mean, I feel like travel's not that on the table at the moment.
Yeah.
I would love to. Like, I would love to be able to go surfing. Like, I've got cousins in Australia, like Sydney.
Shout out.
Planning on like visiting them, go Bali or something. But I think like right now, I said I want to do some fencing World Cups, and I need to get my, because I don't actually do any fencing like competitions, so I don't have a British ranking. I need to enter some of them. I think I need to make like top 10 in the country, and that's the plan.
Just walk in with the gold medal, mate. You'd be fine.
Can I go?
Because you just mentioned surfing, are there any other major hobbies that you have that you kind of want to get back into after everything opens up and COVID's hopefully a thing of the past?
I mean lockdown's been really good. Like one of my other hobbies is gaming. Like I've always been into like my gaming, and that's just given me ample time to sit at my computer and click away.
Nice bit of COD.
Exactly, like Warzone with some of the other guys.
Yeah, nice. Mac, very good at the Call of Duty.
Nah, look, I don't have a British ranking or anything like that. but I fancy myself. But no, that's fantastic, mate. It's incredible to think like I couldn't even do one of those sports, and now you just nailed all five. Olympic record holder, how does that sit with you?
Yeah, I didn't even realize at the time. It was only a couple of weeks ago that someone was like, oh yeah, you got the Olympic record as well. I just didn't realize, like, you don't go to the Olympics wanting the Olympic record. You just want to go and get a medal. So it's like an added bonus. And like I said, it's the first country that's ever done like the male-female gold in pentathlon as well. And that's just like another extra special thing. Like people say it's like, it's going to be a question on question of sport, like the sport quiz show we have over here. And it's weird to be kind of like a part of history almost. I don't know
exactly
if that's right, but it's cool.
Mate, you've been in the history books forever. It's an amazing achievement.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mac, something I always like to ask our guests is if you've got any sort of like unique sort of like superstitions, or is there anything that you do that other people or inside the sport or outside might think's a bit weird in terms of training habits?
It's not training habits. For me, it's in competition, and it's only like the really big ones. So like, I don't know, world champs, Olympics, and it's nothing specific. It's just like, I'll start to overthink which pair of socks I should use for the combined event, the laser run at the end. Like, it was like last competition I did shit, so I can't wear the same socks. It's just like stupid things like that. But no, not like every day, not really.
A bad omen that you got to, get out of your
head. Socks. It was their fault.
Oh, mate, fantastic. It's incredible, mate, what you've achieved. And congratulations again. Yeah, it's a massive, massive effort. And thanks for having a chat to us. We've loved sort of shooting the shit for half an hour and just sort of getting to know you a bit more. And hopefully you enjoyed it. And you don't go punching any horses anytime soon. So.
Don't do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Joe. Mate, thanks for coming on and having a chat to us. You're an absolute legend. And look, we'll keep looking out for you in the future, and we're hoping for a few more golds out of you yet. So, I'm sure all the listeners.
Where's the next World Cup?
Oh, I haven't even started thinking about pentathlon next season yet.
Come on, Mac.
In the game. Let him enjoy the pairs of socks to put on. So,
mate, let him enjoy the gold medal for just a little bit. Yeah. All right. Bloody hell!
Incredible, mate. Yeah. We really appreciate you coming on, mate. Thanks for your time.
No, thanks for having me, guys. Cheers.
All the best. See you, mate. Well, there you have it, guys. We hope you enjoyed our chat with Joe. He was so easygoing. We loved having him on the pod. He's a true legend. We wish him all the best for the future. Thanks for tuning in again, guys. We really appreciate your love and support. You are the ones who keep this train rolling. So it would really mean a lot if you could pass the pod onto a friend or family member. Word of mouth really is the best way to grow the podcast wherever you are in the world. Stay up to date with all the latest interviews and new episode drops through our Insta page at GameSetRap. We love you all, and we'll catch you next week for another huge episode of GameSetRap.